Judas and Peter, a case study. Welcome to Right Start with Jim Custer, teaching pastor of Grace Polaris Church in Columbus, Ohio. The contrasts that night in the upper room were dizzying. Jesus and his men were celebrating the Passover, a joyous holiday, while he meditated on his coming death. One left the meal to betray his master, one declared loyalty to the death, but all asked, "Is it I, Lord? What is in my heart when push comes to shove?" Were Peter and Judas really that different in their own resources? Here's Jim.
Having received the morsel of bread, Satan took possession of Judas's heart. That's what it says. After the piece of bread, Satan entered Judas. Now, from that moment on, Judas goes downhill. He is held in the grasp of a power larger than he can manage and control. Whatever the terms were of his conditions with Lucifer, with Satan, and whatever the alluring promises were that Satan made to him to ensnare him, at this moment, after the morsel, Judas is a piece of meat. It says that Jesus said to him, "What you do, do quickly." Now note verse 28. No one at the table knew for what reason Jesus said this to Judas. Some thought because Judas had the money box, Jesus had said to him, "Buy those things we have need of for the feast," or that he should give something to the poor. Having received the piece of bread, he then went out immediately, and it was night. What happened to Judas? Well, in spite of all that Jesus had taught, in spite of all that Judas has experienced, he opened his heart to Satan. And Satan, that spirit, that person of evil, took possession of Judas and accomplished through Judas the betrayal of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when Satan had accomplished that and Judas comes to himself and realizes what he's done, he goes back and tries to make amends, but the door is closed. And in utter despair, in the blackness of his own night and the deadness of his own defeat, in the horror of his own mistake, Judas goes out and commits suicide. Jesus said, "The thief comes not but for to steal, to kill, destroy." Listen, friend, Satan is real. And he is a spirit being capable of entering into your heart, into your mind. He has others who, like him, are committed to evil, who are themselves cut off from the grace of God, and who are destined to eternal destruction. We call them demons. And the demons also are spirit beings, and they are here, and they have the capacity to enter into a person's life, just like Satan did to Judas. Some of you sitting here this morning may already know about that. You may already know the tremendous power of Satan. You may have opened yourself and made yourself available to Satan through unwise choices, through determined rebellion, through choices that you knew were wrong, and yet you played into your adversary's hand, and he has a grip on your life this morning, and you know it. And you don't like where you're going, but you don't know how to get off the train. Those folks we read about who commit things that seem to be so diabolical. And they will say to the interrogator, I couldn't help myself. Don't discount that. There is much evil in the world that is the direct spawn of Satan and the demonic forces acting, preying upon the souls and hearts of people who have no power to resist. See, that's one of the reasons why the Lord Jesus promised the disciples a different paradigm. It's because the enemy is out there, and he could see in the experience of Judas the power of the evil one to fill the heart and mind with darkness, with greed, with pride, with bitterness, and then carry that person into activities of terrible, terrible destruction. And then come to themselves and wish they hadn't. Of course, some do not come to themselves. Some, like Judas, are taken off the edge. If the closest possible relationship with Jesus Christ during his earthly life could not prevent Satan's capacity to deceive and to destroy Judas, what hope do any of us have? But there's only one hope. And that hope is not in a church. It's not in an outward habit. It's in an inward receiving of the Spirit of God by the grace of God into the heart of the believer, so that from the inside out, you are protected. There's another illustration in these same verses also that answers the question, why was this new paradigm needed? Why did Jesus choose this way of living out his salvation in the lives of believers? Why could he say to the disciples, it's good for you, it's expedient for you, it's beneficial for you that I leave? Because if I don't leave, the Holy Spirit won't come. Meaning that while I'm here in the flesh, I can't do for you the kind of work that you need to have done in your flesh. The second illustration from this chapter, chapter 13, brings us to the man Peter. Again, Peter was a very prominent apostle. And yet when the Lord Jesus Christ seeks to minister to him, Peter says, you shall never wash my feet, verse 8. Confident, arrogant, setting himself above the judgment of the Lord Jesus Christ. No humility here, no teachability here. He knows and speaks what he thinks to be wiser than Jesus himself. And when Jesus gives the piece of bread to Judas, look at what John says, verse 28. No one at the table knew for what reason Jesus said this to him. Had they not just heard Jesus say, the one who will betray me is the one I will give the bread to? Peter and the rest of the 11 are brain dead. They are spiritually insensitive. They are not listening. They are not processing. They are thinking wholly on the physical realm. They are simply tied up and wrapped up in things physical and temporal. They are not listening to what Jesus has just said. They're not getting the message. Why? Because they're dull of hearing. Jesus himself would say to them later, I have so much I want to say to you, but I can't because you're not able to receive it. Why? because their minds were dull. They were gripped in this world. They were thinking about the poor. They were thinking about the next meal. They were thinking about all kinds of things that had to do with this world and had nothing to do with what's really important. They desperately needed someone, some spirit, some good spirit, some Holy Spirit, some spirit of truth that would get inside them and change them from the inside out. Desperately they needed that. How many times had Jesus said to them, "We're going to Jerusalem, I'm going to be betrayed, I'm going to be crucified, third day I'm going to rise again." How many times has he said that? And what's their response? "Where are you going, Jesus?" See, apart from the inner working of the Spirit of God, we will stay spiritually brain dead. Our eyes will be dull. We will not see. We will only think about the stuff that we can see and touch and feel and measure. And the importance of others of us will be more significant in our lives than the importance of what God thinks of us. We desperately need to be changed from the inside out. Someone greater than we are needs to get inside us and begin an operation of internal, life-giving, transforming power. Now, you see that as you watch Peter. Peter says in verse 36, after all Jesus had said, "Lord, where are you going?" "Where I'm going, you cannot follow me now, Peter, but you shall follow me after." Peter said to him, "Lord, why cannot I follow you now? I will lay down my life for your sake." And Jesus said, "Will you lay down your life for my sake?" Was Peter sincere? Yes. Was Peter earnest? Yes. Was he committed the best he could be? But Peter does not know the depths of his own flesh. Peter does not understand the enormity of the test of that faith. Peter is arrogant, self-righteous, cocky, sincere, highly motivated, desperately in need of help from within. You know what happens. A few hours later in the garden, the people come to take Jesus, and Jesus says, "Let these go. I'm the one you're looking for." Peter whips out his sword and commits murder. He missed, but his intent was to hack off the head. He got an ear of Malchus, and Jesus graciously healed Malchus's ear. And then Peter followed afar off, and he warms himself at the enemy's fire, you remember? And just like Jesus said, before the cock crowed, Peter had three times denied any relationship with Jesus Christ. Why did he do that? Did he intend to do that? Was that his game plan? Was that something Peter wanted to do? No. Peter failed because of his flesh. Peter failed because there wasn't operating within him a redeeming, transforming spirit, the Spirit of God. And so when the test came, he crumbled and fell. Jesus would say to his disciples, lest we just pick on Judas and Peter, he would say to his disciples in the end of chapter 16, he said, "Listen, the hour's come when all of you are going to forsake me. You're going to leave me. Each is going to go his own way." So what we said about Peter could be said about John and James and about Andrew and Philip. We could say it about all of them. Matter of fact, so shaken, that even after Jesus had appeared to the 10 and showed them that he was resurrected, Thomas said, except I touch him, I won't believe. Now, all of the disciples sitting in the upper room had walked with Jesus. They were sincere followers. They were good members of the club. But none of them had living within them the resources of God to enable them to live up to the character of God. And neither do I, and neither do you. Good news this morning. This marvelous promise of God has been fulfilled. And the Spirit of God, God the Holy Spirit, comes and lives inside. He indwells every believer. And if you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then the Bible says that you have been born of the Spirit. You have a whole new life. And one of the keys to that life, one of the secrets, one of the most important aspects of that new life is that God the Spirit now lives inside you. And because He lives there, God the Father, God the Son also have access to your innermost being. And God wants to change your life. He wants to change my life by the operation of the Spirit of God. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning for the great gift of the Spirit. And I thank you that this is not just poetry, this is reality. And I thank you that you have come into our lives to make us full and overflowing with rich, abundant life, with joy, with refreshment, with satisfaction. You have come to give us peace, contentment. You have come to produce within us love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, self-control. You have come to work out our salvation. Heads bowed and your eyes closed. Do you know that this morning, Christian friend? If you profess to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, have you experienced the Spirit of God's stirrings within your heart? Perhaps you have gone through all kinds of outward experiences, but your heart has never really been changed. I challenge you this morning to ask Jesus Christ by His Holy Spirit and through His Holy Spirit to come into your heart right now. Ask Him to change you. Ask Him to take up residence inside you right now. And Christian friend, if you have, and you know you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you truly believe that Jesus is God, you have opened your heart to Him, you have asked Him to come into your life. Do you understand this morning that when He came into your life in the person of the Holy Spirit? And while it would be nice to walk with Jesus hand in hand, it is necessary to experience Jesus by His Spirit in your heart. That's the only hope we have of not becoming like Judas, like Peter, and failing like the other 10. Since we live after Pentecost, the gift is active. The offer is active. And if this morning you're weary of sin, you're tired of the struggle, you want to have victory in your life, you want to become like the Lord Jesus Christ, you want to be totally cleansed from sin, and you want victory over your own selfish, failing nature. If you're tired of trying to do it on your own, then this morning, open your heart. Receive the gift, the Holy Spirit. Ask Him to take control of your life. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this marvelous way of finishing your work in our lives and continuing your work here in our world. Thank you for the reality of the living Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, and His willingness to come into the recesses of our lives and convict us of sin, show us the truth, and make us like Jesus. Friend, are you ready to receive into your heart the gift, the Holy Spirit? Christian, if the Spirit is there, but you have grieved Him, are you willing to stop grieving and surrender to Him? He is a gift, yours for the receiving. And when He takes up space in your heart and life, He will never leave, and He'll never quit until He presents you faultless in the presence of God. Now, Father, may our hearts burn within us, and may we be willing to surrender everything and anything to receive and to obey your Spirit as He dwells within our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Sincere, earnest, and unable. That's us in all our human strength. And that's why external religion produces failure and guilt. We were never supposed to live the Christian life on our own. Jesus instructed His followers about the Comforter, the Helper, the renewing and all-powerful Spirit of God. We've been investigating Him for a few days now in Jim's sermon, My Heart, His Home, Part 1. You may want to get the message on CD. We'll send that to you for a gift of $7 or more. Or you could enjoy it as part of a larger bundle of lessons entitled How to Live Effectively, Volume 1. Those 11 discs will come to you for an offering of $38 or more. Right Start family, thank you for your support. I'm sure the devil tries to tell you that your efforts won't matter, but we know that God is using your prayers and offerings, so please keep up the good work. If you'd like to help us get Right Start out into the world, you can donate on the website rightstartradio.org. While you're there, find out how to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. Or you can play or download complete sermons by Pastor Jim. And there are quite a few radio programs ready to help you redeem the time. The web address is rightstartradio.org, rightstartradio.org. Or you can send a letter to Right Start, P.O. Box 437, Worthington, Ohio, 43085, USA. Or call us at 1-800-984-2313. That's 800-984-2313. Thanks for listening. I'm Dan Pope. There was a time in this country when it was a lot easier to show one's faith. Today, it takes courage. Jesus has some words for us about that. So please join us for Tuesday's Right Start.